powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're, as far as the Bible's concerned, we're in Genesis chapter 1, and we are in our notes. We are on Roman numeral 5, and in the analysis there, we are down to subpoint O. Okay, let's take the usual time to remember that the thing that works against us is being out of fellowship and lack of intellectual honesty and objectivity. The Bible tells us, as an imperative, to examine all things and hold fast to that which is good. And, of course, when that comes to the Word of God, it is your responsibility to hear out any topic that might be new to you, that is a challenge to you, and this one certainly has been, and some have dropped the ball with regard to this. This is very clear. One of the things that is behind all of it is our respect for Scripture, the Word of God. There is nothing in it anywhere that is erroneous, and certainly not the nature of the creation. God, I don't want all the human viewpoint you hear, it's ridiculous. God couldn't make this clear. He did. The ancients understood it. The nations worldwide understood it. Not in the detail that we have, but they understood it. They had a handle on it. The record that is the clearest is, of course, the inspired Genesis account. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together in obedience to your word so that we can be spiritually informed and refreshed, so that we can live in this world where darkness, spiritual darkness, prevails, and be able to have the light with regard to all subjects, including this important subject, the creation. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we noted that the restored earth. Now, the Genesis 1 account is straightforward. Yes, there are questions that the interpreter or the reader will have, inevitably. But that's true of anything, anywhere in the Bible. But the basic storyline, as explained, is that the original creation was perfect, was witnessed by the angels, and existed and included both heaven and earth. Okay? The earth is immediately in the passage and in those verses we've looked at, in the immediate vicinity of the third heaven. It isn't ridiculous distance. All right? So, in this regard, by way of review, the earth, see, verse 1 is just a simple, succinct statement that God created the heavens and the earth. A simple statement. Other details are found in the Bible. The third heaven is the throne room, where believers go when they die, where now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father figure. The mysterious, I'll call it that, the mysterious father figure. Because God can't be reduced to one point. He's omnipresent. He's a spirit. He is everywhere at once. That's clearly taught throughout the Bible. But there is a father figure, human in nature. Whatever the makeup is, I don't know. But it is a personality that came into existence so that, without which, no one could see God, no one could appreciate things, interact in this way. So what we have is the third heaven, the throne room, and the extended environment beyond it. And you just have to go there to appreciate it. It's like any place, you have to be there to see it. But we don't have anybody that's been there, come back, and written up a deal on it. Paul couldn't even talk about it. After he had spent time in the third heaven, he was put under a gag order. He could only mention that that had happened to him. During his Galatian campaign, he was stoned to death. And God and his soul went to heaven, and then after a period of time, he was resurrected and put back on his feet, perfect. And that's in Corinthians, and he couldn't talk about it. It's also why he got the thorn in the flesh, which wasn't a literal thorn. It's a metaphor for a demon periodically attacking him and putting him in hellish pain. He asked God 3 times to take it away from him. Why would God let that happen to a great believer like Paul? To knock down any pride he might have with regard to his unique experience of going to heaven and coming back and continuing for years on to the end of his life. So the third heaven, like other things, we have to get there to see it. I have friends, I have acquaintances, they're there. They see it. They're experiencing it in their souls in the third heaven. And all the mysteries attached thereto, we just have to live with that. And the second verse in your Bible says something, implies something negative, if you want to call it that, a judgment befell the earth of the 2 items mentioned in verse 1. Something happened to it. It was locked down in darkness in an ice pack. And the land that no doubt previously existed was submerged. And there was darkness. First step in getting ready for the days of restoration, to make the place habitable for man and creature. Man is the crowning touch at the end on the 6th day. Human race starts up with 2 people. Anyway, so you appreciate this, the first day of restoration, and therefore the first day of human history, though there's no human yet, the first week of human history, comprising exactly 7 24-hour days, the first day, light came into being, and it substituted for what would later be the celestial lights dominated by the sun and then the moon and the stars. That's D+1, so that there was a separation. And we get into the Bible and we get the doctrine of separation thrown at us almost immediately. He separated the light from the darkness. And of course, light and darkness become an analogy or metaphor for truth and law and spiritual darkness, lies, false doctrine, and what have you. He separated the two. And he named each one. He called the light day. And we do it to this day. The Hebrew word is yom. Y-O-M, transliterated into English, Yom, like Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. So wherever, nobody was on earth yet. Nothing was on earth living. But the first day celebrated a day and night scenario, comparable to the sun rising and the sun setting. That's day one. Day two, which we were working on, is verses 6, 7, and 8. Day two. Day two, the earth gets a dome. A dome. If you had a fishbowl and you flipped it over like that, that's the, or like a football stadium with a dome over it. A dome, there's dome buildings here and there on earth. Astrodome, as an illustration, down in Houston. All right? So that's not a hard concept. We're getting to it, but you've got to hear it out. It will become exceedingly obvious that the creation as we have received it from movies, from our science books, from all the ways we're hit with it. The earth, I'll get to it, stick with me. The earth is not a spinning ball, sphere. I'll give you reasons why humanity couldn't exist on a spinning ball. There's a bunch of them. A bunch of anomalies. Things that will not work if you're using logic and common sense. The earth is flat. Yes, there are hills, mountains, valleys, and the rest of it. That's called topography. That is why we use expressions like horizon or sea level. How high is this mountain? Is it a given mountain? How high is Mount Hood? Well, it is based on sea level. There is a math, and then it's so many feet above sea level. The sea is level. That's a measurement. This is level. You could not build things on a curve. You can't, and have it work. Highways, canals, railroad tracks, airfields where you've got to land, that better be damn flat. It would never work. We wouldn't even got to that point. Forget it. The reason that this system by intelligent people is pushed is because the dark side wants to hide God and say that everything that exists just happened on its own. Do you know anything that happens on its own? Nothing. The clothes you wear, everything. Somebody made them with machines and moxie. There was a human creator or technician or whatever it is. We're in the image of God, so we figure things out. This works, this doesn't. This works better. If you've read ahead in the notes, you know some of the problems that are insurmountable with a spinning ball running 66,600 miles an hour around the sun. And the sun, they say, is 93 million miles away. Mars, I think they said, is 30 million. The moon is 240 plus thousand miles away. That's what they say. And of course, this moon's running with us too. This whole thing was made up. It's doctrine of demons in the name of science. just like evolution. How did everything get here? There was an explosion. And it's still going on. The universe is still expanding, I believe they say. And this thing exploded. And over millions and millions and billions of years, things kind of fell into place, and the sun grabbed some objects called planets, and the Earth was one of them. And then over a period of time, this Earth cooled down and developed its own atmosphere. Where'd it get the air? Just hanging around out there? They'll probably have some explanation, so-called. And then life forms have to start. All kinds of them. See? You went to school, you probably saw the chart with the little ape, the little monkey coming up to a man. Well, there's still monkeys on Earth. Last time I checked. They didn't make it, did they? It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Don't let them keep this over your head. Okay, it kills a bunch of these movies. I wouldn't mind science fiction, but it's got to be based on something that actually exists. Or it isn't entertaining to me. Okay? This dome, oh, by the way, we're trapped on the Earth. We can't get through the dome. We've tried. There are those in high places that know what the truth is about this. They're not telling you. NASA's not going to tell you. The space agency. Somebody said, well, these other nations have space agencies. My answer is, so what? Russia has one. India supposedly has one. Israel has one. China has one. So what? It's a waste of money and time. Completely. They've lied to us. They didn't go to the moon. It's impossible. Even people who believe the Earth is a spinning ball say they couldn't have done that in 1969. And they haven't done it since. And we've improved technology tremendously since 1969 when a computer was as big as my office. The best ones. They didn't miniaturize stuff. And they're going to shoot these guys out there where there's no air, with just enough oxygen. There's no air, they say, out there in space. Then how does a rocket launch off the moon? A plane that's a jet engine or a rocket has to have air to push against. Right? It wouldn't go anywhere in a vacuum. Einstein said it was a vacuum out there. So we've got some things that don't make any sense. It's the big lie. We went 6 times, they said. We had it set up to go 7 round trips. A member of my church that has looked at this, it's not here now, told me this. He said we tried 7 trips. They scratched number 7, and they turned around and came back on 6. I never investigated that out. So the only one that stands out is the first one in 1969. If you want to go online, look at the original interview, press conference, with the 4 so-called astronauts. Young men then, dressed up nice in suits, sitting there behind a table, and they're throwing questions at them, the press are. And they're going like this. Their body language is not 4 men that did the unprecedented, unbelievable. They should have been on cloud 9. They were mumbling. They were looking around this way. The whole body language indicated something was way wrong. You don't act like that. You speak with authority, and you speak with how great and wonderful it was and all the rest of it. And all the pictures we've got were done in a Hollywood studio. Stanley Kubrick. And people have picked those apart too. If the moon is what they say it is, the shadows are wrong, a bunch of stuff is wrong. The flag is standing out like that. What they do, put a frame around it? There's no wind. And they're hopping around because gravity isn't so great up there. And then they turned around and came back and landed out in the ocean and picked them up. Right on. It's a hoax. It is a hoax. And if they can do that, and even the people that believe in the small earth who have seen through this and picked it apart. One guy said, "Do you know how damn hot it would be at the surface of the moon? Based on our so-called science? In those 1969 astronaut suits? And then they had that little thing running around? It is so cheesy. One of my members visited the Space Museum in Ohio. They said it was dismal. The place was dismal. That's before they knew about this. They said it was not enjoyable. It ought to have been woo. So, we got a problem. We've got a problem. Government documents put out by NASA. They do a lot of flying around over the earth, over the flat earth. And in all their documents, they say all mathematical calculations for air flight is predicated on a flat earth. The math would be completely different flying over a ball, a curve, with a plane constantly having to adjust its nose like this, just like you going over a hill. But if it's flat, they don't have to do that. And it's in other documents too. And I asked myself the question, why didn't you say over a curved earth? In their documents, they call it flat, which it is. Amazing. Up above it is a dome. This dome, we talked about it last night. We mentioned the fact that in this extended, this I think this is the longest one of, maybe not, but it's one of the largest discussions or presentations of this word translated expanse. In the King James Version, it's firmament. And I gave you some background on that verb, that noun in its verb form that indicates something that is stamped out. It is a translucent dome. God made it. He's an architect and a builder. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters," verse 6, "and let it separate the waters from the waters." What? God made the firmament and separated the waters which were below the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So above the dome is a reservoir, a vast amount of water. And the waters below the firmament are what we call today we call oceans or seas and lakes and all the water that's out there on the surface water. That's the waters below. Yes, there's subterranean water too, but we'll focus on the water, you know, that's in the lake out here and all around on the earth. 60-some% of the earth is covered today with water versus land. So this dome is above and separates waters above. This is where the waters that before Noah's flood, there was no rain. There was no weather systems. There's a verse that deals with how God watered the earth. Anyway, When Noah and everybody was safe in the ark, water fell for 40 days and 40 nights on the earth. The humans that were on the earth had never seen rain in their lives, water out of the sky. It fell all the way through openings God has built into this dome at the top, and this water came down. That initiated the first phase of Noah's flood. Whatever high ground there was at that time, people are probably scrambling to it because they never had to fight a flood. Everything was calm and benign. God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening and there was morning. And according to the Hebrew order of things, it says the second day. The Hebrew just says day two. Day two. We got our dome. Did you ever ask yourself, why is the sky blue? Why is it blue up there? I mean, yes, we have weather events and the sky turns red. I'm talking about typically, what color is the sky? Blue, like water. Mommy, why is the sky blue? The water's above, shining through. That's all I can figure. All right. We gave a number of verses that don't make any sense apart from this model. He called the dome heaven. There are three heavens. The first heaven is everything from the surface of the earth up to the top of the dome. And that would include our atmosphere where we live in, on up to where the sun and moon and stars are. And then you hit the dome. That's the second heaven. And as I gave you a verse, the third heaven is so designated. There are not seven heavens. There is currently three. I gave you some interesting verses. Like Job 22:14b, where it says, He, God, walks on the vault of heaven. Job 26:10, He has inscribed a circle, that's something else, a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. Now, the flat earth, you can get you a map, a professional map. And the study of maps through history is interesting, very interesting. Okay? Another thing, up until, as far as I know, the Greek philosopher, Pythagoras, about 300s B.C., he's the first guy to say the earth is a ball. But in his model, the sun was moving and running around it, and the earth was stationary. But before that, all over the earth and all the pagan countries, and the Jews, of course, they all believed the earth was flat. Now, when I went to school, they made fun of that. Well, if the earth was flat, and then they showed a boat, a ship, going over the side, the water wouldn't stay out and run off. Yeah, unless there was a barrier. And there is a barrier. All around it is an ice wall. And what is beyond that wall, all the way to the edge of the dome, because the dome comes all the way down, who knows? They won't let you explore out there. There's a lot of information floating around, and I have no, until people explore it, I don't know what all's out there. But it isn't just, apparently isn't just constantly ice. Admiral Byrd, look him up, World War I, II guy, he said that Antarctica is loaded with natural resources. It is the largest continent on Earth, he said. Kind of, you know, it was back when we had black and white TV. He's being interviewed on a talk type show. He was in Antarctica. He was a Mason. He formed a lodge down there, 777. He led a huge expedition in an operation called Operation High Jump. And the subcategory in it was Operation Fishbowl. What? And they went out in the Pacific, down south, clear down, and they started shooting missiles up, trying to hit the dome. They weren't going to tell you that. But once the missiles got to a certain height, everything went haywire. And the whole mission was a waste of time and money. God put something up there as a barrier, knowing that man would develop rockets and try to shoot them up there. Now, Isaiah 40:22, he sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent. Amos 9:6, the one who builds his upper chambers and has formed his vaulted dome over the earth, a rare word that only occurs once. He who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, Yahweh is his name. Waters falling on the earth is a result of the sun and evaporation. That's good science. We all know that. That can be observed, and it's right there in front of us. The sun, moon, and stars are located within the firmament, not above it. According to Genesis 1:1, let there be luminaries in the firmament. Genesis 1:14, and God placed them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Starlight, sunlight, moonlight. Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Well, that's certainly true. And let the birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their firmament is showcasing the work of his hands. 19:1. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. And I like this part. In them, he has placed a tent for the sun. A tent for the sun. You know what a tent is? Go out camping? There are all sizes of tents. All kinds of tents. A tent covers everything under the ground that's under it. The people and whatever they got in their tent. So the sun's in a tent. How is the sun 93 million miles away in a tent? I know this is poetic language, but poetic language has to make sense. A tent is a covering over something. So it's tent-like. We can call it a canopy. We can call it a vaulted dome. Pick your terminology, whatever you like. From Ezekiel, we get the idea of what the dome is made of. Ezekiel 1:22 and 23. Now over the heads of the living beings were something like a firmament, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads. Under the firmament, the wings were spread out straight on one another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side. 25 through 28. And there came a voice from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now, I haven't worked through all this one. Good luck. Now, above the firmament that was over their heads, this is where I wanted to get to, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli. I guess you can look that up and find out what the lapis lazuli is. Like, we have to have something on earth that resembles this in appearance, or sapphire. And on that which resembled a throne was the figure of the appearance of a man, God the Father. 10:1. Then I looked in the firmament that was over their heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone in appearance resembling a throne appeared above them. Daniel 12:3. Those who have insight in the last days will shine brightly like the brightness of the firmament of heaven, and those who lead the many in righteousness like the stars forever. The waters above the dome explains why the sky is blue. The water vapor canopy theory is dead in the water. That's why how I tried to explain it back in the past when I didn't understand it. I'm sad for that, but I got to forget what's behind. It's called a breakthrough. A spiritual development of one of the highest magnitudes for us. And with the internet, people have begun posting stuff. While the internet has a lot of evil in it, a lot of awful stuff, there's somebody said it's around 2014 that certain people started looking into this. A couple fellows I followed for a little bit, they heard about the flat earth. This is so stupid. Let's go see what they're saying. And they go, oh, okay. And then they championed it. They went into it expecting to find something just absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. You might ask yourself the question, how can they pull this lie over on us? Well, they're science lies. Intentional. They came into being by corrupt individuals who were smart, high IQs. No question. Sir Isaac Newton, who came up with the idea of gravitation. You know, the old, why does that apple fall from that tree and fall to the ground? There's a mysterious force pulling it against everything. Or the view would be, we'd be all up on the ceiling if it was suspended. It's a joke. The reason the apple falls to the ground is it's heavier than air. That's all there is to it. How do you hold all this water on a ball? Water won't stay on a ball. It runs right off. They'll say gravitation. The gravitational pull would have to be so strong that a little bird couldn't fly over the surface of the water. It'd slam it right on down. It doesn't end with the surface of the water. So Newton came up with this idea. And that's why they call it a theory. Look up the word. The theory of means that it hasn't been proven. It's just a theory. Theory of relativity. Big Bang theory. Theory of evolution. They came up with this in their imaginations, like somebody that's real clever and writes a comic book about Superman or something. They have a vivid imagination. Plus, probably some of them were under demon influence. Newton spent a good portion of his life trying to turn lead into gold. He wasn't successful. He was an alchemist. That's some fake activity. Copious writing and experiment. He was tireless. Never got married. He just worked at this all the time. Like he was possessed. This came into the universities. There was a backlash. There were those that said this is a crock. And there were Christians. There were individuals who gave lectures before we had radio or anything. And they traveled around and they lectured to groups. And they explained to the average man and average person that came why this doesn't work. I saw an elderly lady on TV. She was 100 years old, spry as she could be, when she went to school in Massachusetts. You can subtract 100 from 2022 approximately. When she was in school, would be add another 10 years, whatever it was. She said, our public school taught the earth was flat. And I always believed it, and this other stuff is crazy. And I'm a Christian. So, when you indoctrinate a civilization with an idea and you reinforce it in 100 different ways at least, they're raised up under it. You say to yourself, why do people believe some of the crazy stuff they believe? It's because they were raised up in it. They were programmed. And that's what's happened. The sun, moon, and stars were created, point six, Roman numeral six, were created on the fourth day, would be our Wednesday, of restoration. Now, I didn't give you the, well, I did. I didn't give you day three. Pretty busy day. Now again, here we have. During the day, I guess, I don't know if he did it at night too, but during the day, God didn't just do this like this. He can do things just like that. It's here and it doesn't exist. And there it is. Full blown. So this was a process, not because he was bound by see, whenever we do a project, there's time involved. If I get all the ingredients together, that's part of the process, get everything together and fix a meal, that's a process. Okay? For God, he wanted to set up a seven-day week, and these are the things he did. Before we get to the sun, moon, and stars, little children, before we get to the sun, moon, and stars, guess what our earth had on it? This vast amount of vegetation. No moon, no sun, no stars. He puts, remember, the light source is still working. It gets shut off when we get sun, moon, and stars, D plus five. But on the fourth day, on the third day, on the third day, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. So this is a continental lift where God pulled up the surface of the original continent. And when he pulled it up, of course, the water ran to its lowest level. It always does. Never does water do anything but go to its lowest level unless it's forced somewhere, pumped somewhere. But that's not natural. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. He called the dry land earth. You got to have a vocabulary. Without vocabulary, you can't communicate. There are those out here trying to attack vocabulary. Words that we've had in our lexicon and in our dictionaries and in our speech, and they want to say, well, you can't use those anymore. What? You can't call a man and a woman. That's bad. I'm off topic. It's just crazy. It's anti-intellectualism. He called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. It'd be like you do a project. You do something. You make something. You put something together. And when you get all done with your project, you say, you know, I was blessed. That's good. It's just like I want it. It's just exactly like I had intended it to work out. There it is. It's good. In other words, he stamps it with it. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing their fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. And God brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, species, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning. Day three. Look around on the earth today and look at all the plants. It's unbelievable. Some, as in the Garden of Eden, were for food. Some were just pretty to look at. And then we've discovered other things in the plant kingdom, that there's a lot of things on there. All these spices, all these different things. Different plants. It's like he created them just like that. And they're all planted in the soil as if they'd been there for years. Full-grown trees with their little pine cone or whatever it is, so they can drop to the ground and grow another one and perpetuate their kind down the road. All you gardeners know that. All you plant people, they don't know this. It's just common sense. It's fascinating. Our God did this. Only He could do this. So when Adam and Eve were put in that special garden, it was all full blown, ready to go. Do you know there's one plant mentioned in the eternal state? Some very unusual trees, the likes of which have never occurred. But that's at the end, the last book in the Bible. So, the sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day of restoration. I don't know about you, but you cannot shoehorn the cosmology taught to us today in school and by all the means that is thrown at us. And you'd be laughed at if you said, you know what? We got vegetation all over this earth before we got the sun, moon, and stars. But they'd be wrong. You'd be right. We got the sun, moon, and stars well into the week, 4 days into the week. God knew in human history that men would start worshiping the heavenly hosts, sun, moon, and stars. Sun worshipers are ever, all the sun worshipers of antiquity, all those, the sun god, Ra, the Egyptians. They worshiped the creation rather than the creator. Had it completely backwards because they didn't want God in their thinking. And that's why we're in the mess we're in human history, because they did not want God, and they did not. They quit respecting the Bible, and away we go. And there's a lot of Christians that has fallen for this too. And we were all victimized by certain aspects of this. All right, I'll see you the usual time and usual place. See you Sunday. Be here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in this matter. In Christ's name, amen.